This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. If you're anything like this guy, there are times when you're no fun to be around.
Mr. McGee, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
That, of course, is the Incredible Hulk, and like the good Dr. Banner, everyone gets angry sometimes, and maybe we feel like anger is something we can't control. Anger can erode relationships and cause us to act in ways that we don't understand. Dr. Jeffrey Brantley has made it his business to get a grip on this and other powerful emotions. Dr. Brantley has used mindfulness and meditation in his medical and psychiatric practice for decades. He's written a number of books on the subject. His latest is called Calming Your Angry Mind. It's a guide to using mindfulness to free us from the anger trap. And Jeffrey Brantley joins us again. Welcome back. Good to have you here.
Hi, Frank. It's great to be back.
Tell us about this. Well, let's talk a little bit about anger itself. I mean, it's something I guess we've all experienced. And, you know, so where does it come from? It's a powerful emotion. It's part of the human condition. You've thought deeply about it. What are we talking about when we talk about anger?
Well, you know, it is a powerful emotion, and it makes the top list of most common emotions that most people list. And it's a difficult emotion. I took some inspiration. First of all, emotions, I think modern science and meditation masters both agree that emotions are brief feeling, intense feelings, and they're combinations of bodily sensations, especially hyperarousal in the case of anger, and thoughts, ideas, pictures, thoughts that we have in our minds. So it's this combination of the thoughts and the bodily sensations. And that's quite critical, really, to the power of mindfulness for working with anger. But anger has a lot of – I took kind of a broad view of anger in the book, and from the point of view of aversion and ill will, you know, that anger has roots in other and connections to other deeply held feelings of not liking what's here and wanting to be rid of what's here. And so you don't have to wait till you feel burning anger. If you feel bored, a part of you doesn't like what's here and is disconnected. Or if you feel hostile rage, then a part of you doesn't like it and really wants a violent outcome about getting rid of it. So anger is really worthy of great investigation.
Well, and that last part, this idea that boredom, just wanting to get the heck out of whatever situation, that attaches itself to anger, which you can find in sort of other species as a kind of appropriate response to something that is a threat. Mm. But as you say, it's temporary. The threat is here. It's imminent. And I respond with this new surge of energy. Then we attach it to thoughts, as you suggest, and now it takes on a life of its own. It's no longer about the imminent threat. It can be about boredom. It can be about what that guy said to me 2 weeks ago, and he had no right. And that's different than facing an imminent threat.
Yes. The imminent threat part is the freeze, fight, or flight reaction. You know, somebody cuts you off with their car in a hurry, and there's a sort of arousal and, you know, ready to do whatever to survive. Where the anger comes in, and again, the psychologist and the meditation teachers agree on this, what thoughts do we have around that and following that event? If we had peaceful, happy thoughts before the cutoff, we'd probably just wish them safe and go back to our peaceful thoughts. But if we've been kind of angry about what the guy said 2 weeks ago or anything else, and we're kind of going chewing it over in our mind, and this one cuts us off, you know, we might find ourselves really fueling the arousal and the feeling of anger through the angry thoughts that we keep generating. Like, that's so-and-so, who does he think he is? And then he's out of sight, and we're still thinking, so many people in this world just don't get it. In fact, I think they're all out to get me. And you know right? How our mind can proliferate these crazy thoughts, but they feed the anger.
Well, and you also point out in the book, you might be a bit serene before you get cut off, but if you've been cut off several times and had an angry response each time, there's a kind of a buildup. I mean, in an interesting way, this sort of relates to karma in spiritual traditions, where you build up a reaction and a response. There they go again. That's the first time that guy ever cut you off. But there they go again, cutting me off. And you're quicker and quicker and quicker to respond that way.
Yes. And, you know, we learn. Part of our blessing as human beings, our intelligence, is we learn from our experience. But part of that learning is also we create narratives and meaning around our experience. Right. And so one of the things I talk about in the book is I call the structure of anger, which is when there's anger, beneath anger is usually fear. Beneath the fear is usually a fixed belief or a thought. So like in that case, if the person had been cut off a lot and they carried a belief that the world was out to get them, they weren't quite good enough, then every time that circumstance arises, their fixed belief about that, their perception, fires up, and it gets stronger and stronger the more they fall into it.
So talk about the structure of the book, because as you just suggested, you do a lot to explain the kind of roots of this particular emotion. And then there's also what to do about it and how mindfulness can help us, you know, climb down that tree and get back to where we belong. Talk about the structure of the
book. Yeah, well, the book came to me, you know, like I don't know anything really. I just try to listen to what wants to be said. And the book kind of came to me, and then my editors helped me a lot. But the structure is, as you pointed out, the first bits of it talk about anger and mindfulness just to inform. My assumption was many people pick up this book who didn't really know or care much about mindfulness or meditation initially, but they wanted some help with their anger. And so the first two or three chapters really talk about mindfulness, anger, meditation practice, what it is, what it isn't. The middle sections talk about meditative approaches, which really are based in really ancient wisdom and modern psychological understanding, meditative approaches with guided meditations for working with anger. They are stopping and noticing, disentangling from the angry emotion. The second approach is developing compassion and understanding. The third is developing wisdom, seeing that anger really is made up. It's not permanent. It's made up of conditions and thoughts and so on. The third section of the book I call Beyond Your Angry Mind, because one of the things that happens when we walk around, particularly with chronic hostility and anger and misperception, is that we feel isolated and alone, and the beliefs of that get worse and worse. And so Beyond Your Angry Mind is about recognizing there's a deep interconnection in life, hoping to inspire people to look for that more closely, to see the choices we make have a significant impact, and then that we have an impact on others. In the last chapter, The Gift of No Fear, the idea that if we can manage our own anger better, we put less scary stuff out there into the world, and we really offer the world a gift of no fear.
So let's talk about mindfulness and meditation, what they are and how they apply to helping us improve our behavior here.
Okay. So mindfulness is something we've all got. All your listeners have it out there and everybody else. It's this quality in us that notices. It's not thinking. If you've noticed you tend to ruminate about things or worry about certain things, the part of you that reflects or notices that thinking is the human capacity for knowing, which we call mindfulness. And mindfulness can be cultivated. People like to talk about skills that help this natural talent to notice become stronger. And the skills usually people talk about is the intention. You have to intend to be mindful, pay attention on purpose. Second one is attention. What are you paying attention to? In this case, we could be talking about anger and the situation you're in. And then the third skill is really to cultivate an open heart, a non-judging, receptive, curious attitude, so that when we pay attention, say, to our own anger, our own thoughts, we don't get lost in more judgment because we're angry, but we just become curious and maybe even self-compassionate that we're suffering with that burning anger.
And this noticing that you talk about, it's in a way, and it's in the way the book is laid out, it takes us through the layers, because I can imagine people struggling with anger, saying, I could never catch my, I'm so angry, I'm furious in the moment, my eyes are filled with blood and I can't see and think. And that's precisely what we lose in that moment, right, is that critical ability to see yourself in a larger context. But the first step is maybe after the event when you look back and say, you know, this is damaging behavior, I have to do something about that. That's the first stage in this mindset.
Yeah, well, that gets to the intention. You know, we see the consequences. But I would say, in my own experience anyway, that, you know, with practice, that's that practice skill of attention. In the moment when there's a point of noticing, well, my body's all revved up and I'm just so filled with angry thoughts. And in that moment of noticing that, just to notice that's present, the anger, gives us a choice point. And if we, you know, the old thing about take a breath and step back, that's a good thing to do when we notice we're angry like that, you know. And then later, maybe, or even, you know, just step back, whatever, then we can begin, as we train our mind to really listen mindfully, to stay with the unpleasant thoughts or sensations once we're safe and secure in the situation, train our mind to listen. we can hear what thoughts are. What are those repeating thoughts in our mind? And what are those beliefs? And what is going on with the body? And sometimes it's not about thoughts at all. It's about being tired and hungry. You know, the more irritable, I notice this in myself, you know. I'm happy to take my little puppy out to do her business in the midday when I'm rested and full. But about midnight, if she has to go out and I'm tired and I'm maybe, you know, then I'm more irritable. My thoughts haven't changed a lot, but my physical condition has fed my threshold for being irritated.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about this physical condition, because of the book, you really advise us to pay attention to our bodies, particularly in that moment of anger. Feel where your shoulders are. Feel where your hips are. Notice how your body has changed.
Yeah.
And that's an important part in sort of feeding back and helping us get control.
Yes, yes. When I did research on this book, I talked to some psychotherapists and anger management professionals, you know, and one of the therapists said one of her biggest challenges was people who came to her that were angry didn't know they were angry. They didn't feel it in their body. They didn't know what their thoughts were. And so mindfulness helps us become more aware of what we are actually feeling in the body. And we could pick up, like I said, the shoulders are up, the fists are clenched. We can pick up the physical signs and signals sooner.
And then mentally, emotionally, we can catch ourselves creating a story that's going to preserve anger well beyond its intended need.
That's exactly right. And even catch ourselves incorrectly placing our anger on someone or something that doesn't deserve it. You know, like that example earlier, the cars, you know, the world is out to get us. Well, maybe they're not, you know.
How much experience do you need in meditation in order to have this book, you know, work for you?
Well, you know, I think having the direct experience helps. The good news is we all have natural mindfulness, and what the psychologists tell us is that people have different levels of natural mindfulness, kind of like different levels of other things. And by practicing the skills, the meditations, we can, you know, strengthen that natural amount. But I know people who were not interested in meditation, but they've read the book, and they said they enjoyed the book. It made them think. They're starting to do some of the meditations. And in my experience, once a person starts, mindfulness takes care of itself.
Do you recommend a daily practice in this? Does it take much time? How much time would it require?
Well, we distinguish between formal and informal. So if you can take some minutes a day to stop and do one or more of the meditations, it really helps train the mind and change the brain, really, the attentional systems and so on. However, also encourage just mindful, being mindful during the day. So walking to your car, waiting for a meeting, sitting in the dentist chair, just bring attention back to where you are and what's happening.
I think what's great about the book is so many of us have identified essential qualities in ourselves, right? Oh, I don't take stuff off of nobody. I got a short fuse. And in many cases, we promote it as a virtue. You know, I get things done, and it takes a little bit of anger. How much of that is part of the lie, in a sense, this myth we build up about ourselves let's put it another way. The fact is that since we constructed this story about ourselves, we can also tear it down.
That's right. And again, it comes back to intention. You know, if the story I've constructed about me is so positive that there's no motivation to question it, then I probably won't. But if people start telling me, you know, I get divorced or my kids hate me or whatever because I'm so angry all the time, then maybe I could start to ask if my story is really true.
How functional is it? Well, let's take it from another. I mean, athletes and that sort of thing, it seems to me I can almost hear people saying, I use anger as a motivating tool. You can imagine it in athletics and things. Although I would say that a great coach and a good commanding officer, the last thing a good coach wants is an angry player. The last thing a good commanding officer wants is an angry soldier.
Right. I mean, you look at the mistakes that get made. How many personal foul injuries in a football game are due because they weren't thinking, the coaches say after, you know? So I think it is a kind of a myth. The arousal and the intensity is something that could be useful, but it is a kind of a myth in a way that we have to really be filled with anger about things. The thought train has to be that way. Separating and making the other the enemy or whatever, always.
This book is directly applied to the emotion of anger, but in a lot of ways, it seems to me the foundation of this book, Meditation and Mindfulness, listening to the chatter, watching yourself, and the process of making a story, all of that can be applied to any emotion and sort of all of our behavior, can it?
Absolutely. You know, that's really where, in the stress reduction classes we teach, where people learn to shift from reacting to responding. Because they begin to see how their own interior dialogue, often in a context, triggers the stress reaction. And they begin to get some choices about that.
Yeah, it's this notion of actually identifying, and you point this out in the book too, that you can have anger. And the title itself, Calming Your Angry Mind, I Am Not Angry. And that's our mistake, isn't it, to identify so closely with the anger that we become the thing that is ultimately destructive.
Yes, yes, you know, and that it's okay. I mean, we're human beings. We're only human.
Yeah.
We're going to be angry. We haven't failed somehow. And the anger's not us. You know, we're much bigger and vaster in a way than this momentary emotion.
Which is the other thing. If in the process of this, if you notice you're still getting angry at the guy that cut you off, don't get mad at yourself.
That's right. That's right. What's wrong with me? I can't let that go. You know, don't get angry at yourself. You're just angry. It'll pass.
Dr. Jeffrey Bradley. Jeff, it's always such a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank, and good luck to all your listeners and to you. May you all be free of anger.
Thank you very much. Jeff Bradley, the author of Calming Your Angry Mind, A Guide to Using Mindfulness to Free Us from the Anger Trap. And that is our program for today. Thanks for listening. If you want to hear more or see more, you can go to our website, stateofthings.org. It's produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Alex Curley is the intern. Robin Copley is the technical director. Brent Wolf, the news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.